Okay, up here, continuing with the Brahmacharya rules, then, see, basically you'll see that most of these rules apply for everybody, but they're just learned at a different time. So they're learned at the time of Brahmacharya, you learn that, and that goes through your life. And then at the time of Grihastha, you learn those things, those go through your life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's certain things that are just taught in there with the Grihastha, but they apply to everybody else also. Mm-hmm. So you just have to see what... There's some things that are specific, mm-hmm. like the particular dress of the Brahmacharya. That's just the Brahmacharya wears, mm-hmm. the Grihastha won't wear. But these rules of like proper eating and all that, that goes for everybody, mm-hmm. you know, because it's a practice, it's a habit. So mm-hmm. then, yeah.
And if a Grihastha hasn't learned them as a Brahmacharya, he should learn them as a
Yeah. Because they apply. It's just, that's just the basic behavior, mm-hmm. you know. Says, let him not give to any man what he leaves, and beware of eating between the two meal times. Let him not overeat himself, nor go anywhere without having purified himself after the meal. Okay, so that means what he has left over, he shouldn't give. You know, because the point is Brahmacharya is supposed to be humble. So he shouldn't be giving that away. Because otherwise, then they may give it to the little kids or give it to this, that, and it's not a good thing. Mm-hmm. Like that. Maybe sometimes it's very good intimate friends, and they may. But as a general rule, except for that kind of intimacy, it shouldn't be done. Mm-hmm. You know, they should be very careful. Because otherwise, then they're not careful how much they take, so they're wasting. So that before they're giving it away. You know, that should be avoided. Brahmacharya should always just take just what he needs and eat what he needs, and mm-hmm. not eat more or take more, mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. You know, and he should not also keep it for later. You know, mm-hmm. especially something that has been on his plate that's contaminated, and then keep that. That's not mm-hmm. good at all. That's not at all good.
And purified after eating means washing hands.
Means you shouldn't go anywhere without having done that. Mm-hmm. Means after eating, the first thing you do is clean yourself, then do other works. Otherwise you can get busy this, that, and all that. So that should always be the first thing. Then, oh yeah, we did this. Excessive eating is prejudicial to health, to fame, and to bliss in heaven. It prevents the acquisition of spiritual merit and is odious amongst men. One ought, for these reasons, to avoid it carefully. Let a Brahman always sip water out of the part of the hand, Tirtha, sacred to Brahman, or out of that sacred to Ka, Prajapati, means Lord Brahma, or out of that sacred to the gods, but never out of that sacred to the manes, so the forefathers. They call that part of the root of the thumb, the Tirtha, sacred to Brahman, that at the root of the little finger, the Tirtha, sacred to Brahma, means this side. This is on the right hand. That at the tips of the fingers, sacred to the gods, means out, means like if you pour it out the tips of the fingers, so that side. And then the manes are between the what do you call it? The index finger and the thumb, that side.
So this side is sacred to who?
Is Brahman.
Brahman.
Means, in other words, this is for you know, transcendental, like that. And it seems that they'll do acharans out of these sides depending on what they want.
You know. Like you said about putting tilak on the finger, you get mukti?
I'm not sure. Someone said, yeah.
Mukti.
Maybe.
This one you get bhakti.
No, bhakti is the ring finger.
This one, right.
I think this one's the middle finger, I think it's money. And this may be something else. Because they're all contained, it's all, how you say, all the different planets and everything, it's all happening like that.
And when we sip Charanamrita. I've seen many different mudras.
There's only two that I know of.
Like when you're serving Charanamrita, you get to see all of them.
All of them. Oh, I see. many.
Which one is proper?
The proper ones are the how do you say? The index, the middle finger, and the ring finger are at 90 degrees to the palm. Mm-hmm. With the thumb forward and the little finger forward, mm-hmm. you know, that are flat. That's one. Because the point is, you want to close the place, the Tirtha of the forefathers. Because otherwise, that's where it generally goes out. You know, so that's one. Plus, see, by doing that, then your fingers, the tips of your fingers, that are 90 degrees, it makes it very hard to get your mouth into the middle because it bumps into the forehead. So the only place you can put your mouth is here. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, in some people, it doesn't close properly, mm-hmm. like that. Then the other thing is you take the ring finger and you put it behind the thumb and put the thumb over on top, mm. like that. And then keep the other three, the middle ring and index, they're at a 90 degree, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, they're in line with the mm-hmm. I can't, it may, this finger doesn't bend well, but it comes out like that. You get the same 90 degree angle. Mm-hmm. But then by curling it so that the tip of the index finger is hooked behind the thumb, you know, mm-hmm. then that completely closes that space. Then you can also hold the Charanamrita. So this is called Gokarna. This is cow ear. Because that's what the cow's ears look mm-hmm. like, you know. And the other one, I'm not sure what it's called. But these are the two proper mudras that I know of.
Okay.
You know. And then it's always proper to put the right hand on top of the left hand. And then in between you keep some cloth.
Yeah, I've seen you do that.
Because then if you do spill, it goes under the cloth. Mm-hmm. And it's on the upper cloth, not the lower cloth. Mm-hmm. You know, because the upper cloth is considered pure.
Mm-hmm.
The lower cloth's not. So then one's like that.
And how regularly should the upper cloth be changed? Because this morning you said, oh, if you have two lotus and two charas, should it be changed every day, the upper?
It means it depends upon what you're doing with it. See, silk has a unique feature that if it's not contaminated, it does not become contaminated by taking it off. Cotton, technically, when you take it off, it's considered dirty.
Mm-hmm.
You can wear it once.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you just put it on and take it off after half an hour, technically it's considered not clean,
mm-hmm.
like that. So it needs to be, you know, rinsed.
Mm-hmm.
Cotton is purified by rinsing with water.
Mm-hmm.
Now silk, then, is you can take it on and off as long as you don't go into the bathroom with it, don't eat in it, don't sleep in it.
Mm-hmm.
It maintains its purity.
Mm-hmm.
So then you could use it for puja, take it off, you know, fold it, keep it nicely, and then wear it later in the day or the next day. And you can do that for, means it depends upon the situation you're in and what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Means if you get things on it that make it dirty, but just on its own, if you're careful and clean,
mm-hmm.
then you can go, you know, 1 week, 10 days, 2 weeks even.
Mm-hmm.
And then it can be washed nicely.
Mm-hmm.
But that means it's only being used for puja and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends upon how you're using it. But if you're using it, wearing it the whole day, and just as normal, eating and doing everywhere, then that should be washed every day.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not, it can just be kept. So you could have one set that you're regularly washing and one set for, like that. It depends on, if you only have silk, then it doesn't matter. You just, but if you only have like one set of silk or something or two, then you do like that. Plus, silk can also be, if it's not like, I mean, if you pour some, you know, panchamrita on your dhoti, it needs to be washed.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's just a matter of, you know, it needs to be purified like that, it can be put in the sun,
mm-hmm.
in the wind, or in the moon.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be making noises. Mm-hmm. Does that mean it's low on battery?
No, battery is okay. It might be low quality, you could say.
I mean, as long as it works. So. Like that. Did you figure it out? Is it big enough for two?
That's one.
It's one, okay. And then some extra.
Yeah, something.
Yeah,
like
make some bead bags or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Then, okay. Then 60, let him first sip water thrice. No, that's from that one, the UPS.
Oh, okay.
Let him first sip water thrice, next twice his mouth, and lastly touch with water the cavities of the head, the seat of the soul, and cavities of the head, the seat of the soul, and the head. means that in the argus, you're sipping water three times, you're wiping twice, and then you're touching everywhere else once, like that. So the cavities means you're the upper and lower lip, the two nostrils, the eyes, the ears. Then there will be the navel, the place, the heart, and the top of the head, and then the arms, like that. So
that's part of Achman, right?
It's part of Achman.
It's not Nyas.
It's not Nyas, it's just Achman. Like that. Like that. So it's not. It's just for purification. Mm-hmm. Because there the idea is that you're purifying and you're using water and the Lord's names. You want to change it?
I don't have anything to change it with. So.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. Like that, but the Nyas, you're actually taking the mantra and placing it on various parts of the body. So it's slightly different. It looks the same. Mm-hmm. So it's like a Nyas, but it's not that kind of Nyas that we don't do. Mm-hmm. We don't do the Nyasas where we're placing the mantras on them. You know, it's just like Tilak. The Lord is going in that place, but we know that the Lord is entering the Tilak. Mm-hmm. You know, so the Lord is there. It's not that there. But on the mantra, you're putting it in. The conception of is the mantra is being situated in the different parts of the body. Mm-hmm. So then the tendency is to think that now the mantra and myself are the same. Mm-hmm. So even though it's basically the same process, the consciousness of it is needs to be understood properly. Mm-hmm. So therefore it's avoided. Like that. Because it's fine. I mean, sometimes within fineness, the Nyas itself, the putting of the Tilak and the Achman, even though they're doing the same thing, chanting mantra and touching the various parts of the body, that they're actually different functions. One, you're inviting the Lord to stay in the areas of Tilak as the temple. The other, you're using the Lord's name and just purifying the spot. Mm-hmm. The Lord doesn't necessarily enter there. Mm-hmm. You know, with the Achman. And then with the other is that the mantra is entering in the different parts. And it's not going in one place. It's going like Akara Nyas means it's all on the hands. Mm-hmm. And Anga Nyas means it's all in the different parts of the body. Mm-hmm. Like that. So then it's just we don't use them so much, you know, like that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, so it's subtle, but it and he who knows the sacred law and seeks purity shall always perform the rite of sipping water, neither hot nor frothy, with a prescribed tirtha, in a lonely place, and turning to the east or to the north. Right? Basically discussing, in other words, pure water and, you know, with proper concentration. So it says lonely place means you won't be talking and laughing and doing achman. It should be a concentration. Mm-hmm. Brahman is purified by water that reaches his heart, a kshatriya by water reaching the throat, a vaishya by water taken into his mouth, and a shudra by water touched with the extremity of his lips. So it's a matter of, like, practice here.
I've been concentrating on that.
Mm-hmm. See, it gets down to the heart, isn't it? It goes right down to the heart and then stops, isn't it, if you concentrate. Okay. A twice-born man is called upavitan when his right arm is raised and the sacrificial string or the dress pass under it, rests on it, and rests on the left shoulder. You understand? Means when you put on the thread, means the right arm will be raised, and then this thread will be put over one's head. It'll rest on the left shoulder and go under the right arm. Mm-hmm. So it'll rest on the right waist, like that. So that is upavitan. That means one who is worshipping, you know, the demigods or the Supreme Lord. Then, when his left arm is raised and the string or the dress pass under it and rests on the right shoulder, he is called Pakshinavitin. That means that is for worshipping the, you know, forefathers and ghosts and things like that.
It's like Tantra.
Yeah, it's to the left, yeah. He is called, and when it hangs down straight from the neck, and nivitin, if it's straight from the neck. So that means that's for worshipping men. Mm. Like you do a worship of the king or something like that, then they'll hang it in the front and do like that. You know, the worship's being offered to him. Mm. But like when we do our worship where we worship the Lord and then the remnants go and things like that, then that's another thing. So it doesn't.
And again, the principle is keeping the Lord on the right side, like you said about parikrama.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, yeah.
But then when we offer our obeisances, that was
something. That's, I'm not sure exactly why that, I haven't come across why that is. Mm-hmm. But the main thing is as if, yeah, for those who are present, like Guru's present, then you offer the right side. Mm-hmm. If Guru's not present, then it's like the Lord and the demigods to the left side mm-hmm. will be offered. His girdle, the skin which serves as his upper cloth, and that is the deer skin, his staff, his sacred thread, and his water pot, he must throw into water when they have been damaged, and take others, reciting sacred formulas. In other words, they must all be dealt with in, as sacred. Mm-hmm. You know, all these things. His girdle, the deer skin, the staff, his Brahman thread, and his water pot. They can't be disrespected and just disposed of in any way. They must mm-hmm. be, says here, best is thrown into water. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can't throw it into water, then it can be, then they could be buried. That can't be done, then they could be burned. But mm-hmm. the thing is that the proper thing is throwing them in the water. Mm-hmm. Like that. Mm-hmm. That's the general principle. You know, so they should always be in good shape. Thread breaks, or the staff gets old, it breaks, the deer skin gets worn out, like this, and they should be disposed of and they should get a new one. So the brahmachari is always, you know, he's always looking, he's not looking rough and ready. They're simple, but they're not looking like, how do you say, they're not looking ratty, let's put it. You know? The ceremony called Keshanta, clipping the hair, is ordained for a Brahmin in the 16th year from conception, for a Kshatriya in the 22nd, and for a Vaishya 2 years later than that. So it's basically the same as when the end of the line is when they can receive the Upanayanam. Is that Keshanta, this is the second cutting of the hair. They've already done it when they're 1 year old or 3 years old. But that one is for purity of the body. This is for purity of the consciousness. It's slightly different. Is that the in other words, they've taken their vows, but they've taken it when they were young, so they're not that mature. You know. But now the what do you call it? Now at 16 then a Brahmin is mature. So he takes the vow again, but this time it's conscious that he himself is taking that vow, that I'm going to maintain brahmacharya, I'm going to perform these brahminical duties with a shut like this. So then...
Seems like they're communicating.
Either that or that one's going nuts. I think that combined with the birds... Yes.
Anyway.
So that's done again when they reach 16, and then that is reconfirmed at that time.
You said that the hair that the child is born with is omuchi. But in the Satkriya Saradipika, it says that a sikha should be kept during that chudakarana.
Chudakarana. Yeah. So I guess maybe at that particular point it's not, but it's purifying, because also by shaving the head, I forget all the different aspects to it. Maybe it's here. By shaving the head, there's also all kinds of benefits that come, just like the morning bath. And the devotees knew all the benefits. They might be a little more enthusiastic. Sikha. It says one must have a sikha to perform any kind of yajna. So the Brahmins and Vaishnavas keep sikhas. 1.5 inches across is the recommended Gaudiya. It says a sikha may be any length, but it should be kept tightly knotted. not untied when you are, and only untied when you're washing it, cleaning, oiling, like that. If the sikha is also very big, you know, you have a big knot, sometimes the hair is very thick, and then it can, if it's uncomfortable, it can be untied during sleeping, like that. But if it's not, then it should be left. Attending funeral rites or observing a period of mourning, then the kippah is untied. Since it's a sign of death, untied sikha is inauspicious to go around. If it's very short, it's also said if it's untied, the body may become weak. But if it's very short, then it doesn't matter. The sikha should also be tied during the bath, means the final bath, means you get yourself wet, open the sikha, soap, rinse it off like that, and then, you know, scrub and this and that. But at the very end, after you've actually cleaned yourself, then there should be another rinsing. And during that time, you're supposed to remember the Lord. Like that. Many will just go when they've finally done the final, you know, bit of washing off the soap, that's it. But that's called prithvi snan. But the most important element in the snan is the manasa. So that remembering of the Lord, like that. So after one's finished, then one should just, some water should go over the head. It's mainly that aspect, you know, like that, you know, over the head and remembering the Lord.
And at that time the sikha should be tied.
Yeah, and that time it should be tied. But one was taking the bath and scrubbing, this, that can be open. That's not it. Okay, let's see if it mentions here. And she also, it shouldn't be braided. That's for women, they braid the hair. Yeah, and if it's too short to be tied, then it doesn't need to be tied. It doesn't say here about the shape. I guess that's in the Ayurveda. Yeah, it's in the Ayurveda. Because it mentions that there's all kinds of benefits. I think it increases intelligence and all kinds of things by shaving the head.
There's something in the Sakriya Saradipika.
About the shaving?
Yeah. Increases beauty, strength, vitality.
Oh yeah, shaving the head and cutting the nails removes impurities and gives delight, lightness, prosperity, courage, and happiness. Charaka says cutting the hair, beard, and nails gives strength, vigor, life, purity, and beauty. Yes.
And then there's another footnote on the next page about sikhas.
Sikha and Yajnapavita, compulsory sides of a brahmana. Man without them does not get the full merit of religious ceremonies. Shushruta says inside the head near the top is the joint of the shira, artery, and sandhi, brahmarandra. Any injury to this part causes certain sudden death. Therefore, it is necessary to keep it covered by the sikha. So then for the protection, then it's done. You know, means that that's left at that time for the child. Also, it looks funny when you shave your head and there's no sikha. Yeah. You know? It looks bare. It's funny if you have sikha, you have neck beads.
Tilak.
When looks dressed.
Yeah.
You know, they probably said for a sadhu if he has, you know, kopins and tilak and his bead bag and he's fully dressed. You know, of course one may not go out into public amongst other sadhus. Mm. Someone is dressed.
Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das is speaking about how strict Lord Chaitanya was with the students. And he says, and if they came to class without tilak on, then Lord Chaitanya would say, how are you chanting Gayatri if you're not wearing tilak? And if you haven't chanted Gayatri, then how come you've come to class? Go back home, put tilak on, chant Gayatri, and come back, and then I'll teach you something.
Very strict. Very strict.
And he says, unless you have tilak in your gayatri, this is your religion.
Really?
It's not gayatri. It's have to chant it again.
That's fine. Okay. This whole series of ceremonies, okay, so that means at that time that he's reconfirming his vows to Brahmacharya. Or if it's later like that, then the Kshatriya, it means that this is the, when they're doing, this is the latest it can be done. Or it means that at this time, then they're taking their vow for doing their duties. This whole series of ceremonies must be performed for females also in order to sanctify the body, the proper time and in the proper order, but without the recitation of sacred texts. So the girls also shave. I don't think they shave at the second one, because it's specifically for Brahmacharya, mm-hmm. like that. Because generally by the time they'd reach this age anyway, they would have been married mm-hmm. traditionally, so it's a little hard. You know, they'd already been, could have already had a few children. mm-hmm. 67.
So which ceremony should be done for that?
Means all the ones, basically except for the Upanayanam, because that'll mention what they get for that. Okay. They do all the ceremonies up there.
But the mantras shouldn't be chanted?
Generally, you don't chant the mantras for it. You just do the ritual part of it, mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. You know, the specific ones there, it means you could have a homa and do all that, but the ones when you're actually doing, right. like you put, like the anaprasana, when you put the rice in the mouth, you wouldn't chant those mantras and all. Because what happens is later on, that's the basic preliminary, but their main purification comes at marriage. Mm-hmm. That's what it'll describe now. Mm-hmm. Like that. So they get, but in a different mm-hmm. different way. Mm-hmm. Like that. This nature is different. Right. So it's kind of like what the boy does at the Keshanta is what the girl does with the marriage. Mm-hmm. You know? Because then that's when she's dedicating herself to the chastity. And the boy in Keshanta has dedicated himself to celibacy. So all the same things are done, but it's just a matter of when they're done, how they're done. Mm-hmm. But they're accomplished. Mm-hmm. They're accomplished. Yeah. Like that. Uh-huh. Then it says the marriage ceremony is stated to be the Vedic sacrament for women, and to be equal to the initiation, in other words, to Upanayanam. That's why they don't do that, because Upanayanam would be trained in the house. And then,
right, and her husband's a qualified Brahmin, then she's
automatically... Yeah, she already gets that. That's why he wears an extra set of threads, is that one is for the wife. The Brahmachari wears one set of three. Mm-hmm. The Grihastha wears two, one for him and one for the wife. Then if he does puja, he wears three sets, one for the upper cloth. You know, so one for the upper cloth, one for himself, one for the wife. Like that. So, like that. And in Bengal, that would be the Vedic tradition. In Bengal, everybody wears three sets. Like that. Because one is for, you know, the demigods, one is for the forefathers, one is for the human. Like this, they have so many things they do in three, or the nine qualities of a Brahmin, because three sets means there's nine threads. So they all have their own thing. The Vedic, the principle is the thread for the wife is being worn by the husband. Mm-hmm. Like that.
And if he's wearing one upavita for the upper cloth, that means he doesn't have to wear it?
Means that is for emergency. Uh-huh. Means you always have to wear an upper cloth. So if somehow another emergency happens that you don't have one, then that's represented by it. But he shouldn't now take advantage. It's like, you know, sinning on the strength of the holy name. Means mm-hmm. one should always have, so then one, that should be done. Okay. So in other words, here now is showing the equalities. By the marriage ceremony, they get the same benefit as the Brahmachari gets through Upanayanam. Mm. That's also why there's no need in the Vedic thing for the women to take Upanayanam. Mm. Like that. Mm. You know? But Srila Prabhupada gave it because it was the women were so masculine that it would help them overcome the masculine nature. Mm-hmm. If they had a very feminine nature, it might make their heart a little hard. But if they're already, it's hard as a thunderbolt, it'll soften it up. Like that. Then serving the husband is equal to living in the house of the teacher, residence.
I heard that Narayan Maharaj doesn't have his female disciples chant Brahma Gayatri.
Yeah. Well, that was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That was how he did it. Prabhupada introduced that with the women. Mm-hmm. Probably because there practically is much men as the men, you know, like that in the modern. That and also just the aspect of it's the Western women, if they find out they don't have and they got, then it's a whole big riot also. So for us, it's not a big deal, you know. So it's not a major thing, though they try to make it a major point. Mm-hmm. It's a minor point, you know, because of our overemphasis on diksha. Then sometimes it's that understanding. Then it comes out with that way of thinking, you know. But otherwise, that's a minor thing. While women mixing with men, that's a major thing.
Right.
Though they'll take that as minor.
Right.
You know, so it's just the culture is backwards, therefore. So the marriage is equal to upanayanam, serving the husband is equal to the residence, antevas, living at the teacher's house, because the student lives at his house, and that's, you know, all that austerity and all that kind of thing like that. Because the husband is the guru, so then she's living in the residence of the guru. So the antevas means that service is going on. And why are you taking that one?
Worship and use it for the offering.
Oh, here?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, very good. Then, because in the house it renders menial service. Because men, women are always asking, oh, we can never do menial service and personal service to our guru and this and that, not fair. They get the same benefit by worshiping, serving the husband. They won't be able to get that much service to the guru. Right? How many brahmacharis get the chance to always live with the guru, like in the Vedic age? But the wife gets to live with the husband, so she actually in that way gets more benefit, like that. But because they don't know the science and they're thinking that they're being cheated. And the household duty is the same as the daily worship of the sacred fire. So the yajna that's done by the brahmacharis, they get by just doing the household duties. Like that, so women are saying, why can't we do yajnas and that? You get the same benefit. They say spiritual equality, but it already is, but it's just through how it's done, you know? You know, it's just like saying, okay, someone in America, he works, he gets dollars. Someone's in Germany, he works, and he has to be equal, he has to get dollars. No, he's getting Deutschmarks. No, must be dollars, otherwise it's not equal. No, he gets Deutschmarks. You know, and says, okay, we'll give him dollars, but then he's going to have to transfer them into Deutschmarks anyway. Because you do the yajna, unless you're wearing a sikha and a brahmin thread, you don't get the benefit anyway. You know? Like that. So it's like, why bother? All this seemingly external, mundane, Western approach to it, they don't know what equality is. Because the nature of men and women isn't equal to begin with. Each one is better or stronger or weaker in an area than the other. As far as physical stamina, in anxiety and other, you know, just personal things, women are stronger than men. Like that. But the mind is not as strong. Therefore you see that little things, physical things, bother the women. It's because their mind isn't into it. Right? You know, it's hot, bugs bothering them, they're hungry, they're tired. So one will have to think that they're weaker in physical stamina. But when it comes to, you know, bearing a child and these things like that, Prabhupada said the pain of childbirth would kill a man. If a man went through it, he would die. But because they're into it, the mind has accepted that pain, their body can handle more pain. You know? Like that. So the strength and weakness of that, there is no question of equality. You know, we talk about all these activities. What about the body itself? It's so different. How it works is different. Everything is different, you know. So then the problem, it becomes artificial. It's an artificial, sentimental idea, and many times just politically motivated also. You know, it doesn't have to do with reality. So the point is that even though such differences are there, the equality must be there in benefit, because the whole idea is to go back to Godhead. So now here, the benefits of the brahmachari life are gained. It's whatever the brahmachari went through, the women go through by that process of marriage. Like that. You know, that's why it's recommended that unless they're on the Brahma-Bhuta platform, then they don't have to worry about it. Like Gargi, you know. She didn't live with, you know, under her husband, under her father, other, but she was on the Brahma-Bhuta platform, you know. And she had no problem with the society having its particular angle on women, you know. Even though she knew so much philosophy, you know the story of her in the court of Janak Raj, and he was having a big sabha. Having a big sabha, and it was like, who is the best or most knowledgeable of all the sages? Because he wanted to worship who was the most knowledgeable. He wanted to respect. So he called, you know, it was put out a big thing, and the rewards were going to be, you know, the offerings were going to be very large. So then he put out this, and everybody came. So then they're all discussing this, that, and finally it works out down to Vishwamitra. Yes, Vishwamitra. So then Vishwamitra is finally, after all the lower ones have been defeated, then all that's left is Vishwamitra. And everybody's asked questions on anything, you know, remote things, on some technical point of some obscure yajna, and he knows the ritual, or, you know, some grammatical thing on explaining some obscure, you know, word or syllable, he knows that. And, you know, whatever is the science, any area, any branch of knowledge, you know, an Ayurveda and this and that, he knows everything. So then, you know, it's like, Janak Raj, everyone's asked him questions, he's answered everything. So then Janak Raj is, so does anybody else have any questions? Otherwise Vishwamitra will be, you know, acknowledged as the greatest of all those who have, you know, the greatest scholar, you know, the greatest studied and understanding and all that. So then Gargi said, well, can I ask some questions like that, you know, very helpfully. He says, yes, please. So she started asking questions on spiritual life. He didn't know zip about that. He's a Brahma Rishi and so knowledgeable because just he wants to be a Brahma because Brahmins are the most powerful. You know? That's all. So it's simply he wants to be in the position who's in the, you know, the best position. He's a Kshatriya. Yeah, he's a Vishwamitra, like that. So he does the Brahminical duties, but with the mode of, yeah, take off all the cheddars and stuff like that. Or, yeah, thank you. So then she asked him that, and he's getting, you can see, physically agitated, you know, because it's questions he can't answer and everything like that. You know, and they're subtle. I guess no one else understands them either, like that. So when she sees he's becoming, you know, suitably agitated, you know, that she doesn't want to bother him because she's in the Brahma-Bhuta platform. She has no agenda as such. Then she immediately stands up and announces to the assembly that there is no one greater and more knowledgeable than Vishwamitra, and he should be honored as the most, well-studied and that of all the, you know, great sages and munis. And she herself just announced it, even though he was materially the best, he was a fool because he didn't know anything about spiritual, and she did. But she wasn't about to disturb the thing because she has no agenda. This thing where you fight like this means you have a material agenda, like that. And the fighting is based on what one feels is one's identity. Yeah, one's due. What is my identity? You know, like that. So it's, you know, we fight because we're Prabhupada's disciples, or because we're women, or because we're managers, because we're followers, or this and that. It's all based on just what we feel is our conditioned identity. Mm-hmm. And because of that, therefore no one's satisfied. Because you can't satisfy anyone that way. It may satisfy ourselves or those like us, but it's not complete. Because if something's going wrong, you have to correct that wrong. But you generally will check is it's going wrong in one area, probably because it's going wrong in many areas. You know, if someone's not protecting women, means you don't know, or children, it means you don't know what protection is in the first place. Right? You can't. So that means is therefore old people aren't being protected, cows aren't being protected. You know, and Brahmins aren't being protected. If you look around, that's what's going on,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not that all our farms are flourishing with the cows and everything's going wonderfully and that. No. It's not that the Brahminical culture is greatly encouraged and supported and all that. No. You know, and it's not that old people are, you know, getting taken care of and all that. No, it's not happening. So then naturally the women and the children aren't going to be taken care of either.
Mm-hmm.
It just comes together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's picked out. So the women do their thing, the students do their thing, and then, you know, if you just give it time, the old people start their you know, because now there's not so many, but when there's a lot of them, then they'll start saying, hey, what about, I served the movement for 50 years, you know, and, you know, all that'll start coming up, and then, you know, the Brahmins, if they keep pushing along enough, then they'll start to make trouble like that, you know, and the cows are peaceful, so they don't make trouble, they just die.
The cow herds.
Yeah, but the cow herds will make noise only because it's their profit. But I'm saying is, see, the people themselves that are not being protected are that. You know, the cows just, you know, get skinny and don't give milk and, you know, stuff, you know, get sick and like that. So but it all goes together. So if one is having a problem, so one has to see the full picture, and that's what the Vedic culture is. It means if you can't see the full picture, you see your picture. First, see that you're doing your duties. Then we'll talk about someone else not doing theirs. You know, it's like the women say, "Well, the men aren't protecting." Well, first, are you doing these things? You know,
mm-hmm.
You worry about that, and then you've made your complaint, and someone else will worry about the men. Because the thing is that someone who can't do their own duties can't change someone else. It means the wife who can do her duties perfectly can change a husband who has problem in his duties. But if she can't perform her duties properly, no question she's going to change anybody. If you can't change yourself, how can you change someone else? You know yourself really well. You know, you can talk with yourself all day and preach to yourself. And if you can't do that, how are you going to do it for someone else who you're with less and know less? Like that. So, you know, 68. Thus has been described the rule for the initiation of the twice born, which indicates a new birth and sanctifies. Learn now to what duties they must afterwards apply themselves. Okay, so this is now, okay, we've given the general, like, dress and general things that the brahmachari does, and then how the women get the same benefit.
Mm-hmm.
By going through all this. Now he'll say, now we'll get into the actual duties that they're going to perform. Now it's also time for prasadam, you know. And your class is at what time?
11:30.
Yours is 11:30. So what's the one at 10? Oh, that's something else.
Maybe.
That's above, up before. Okay. Okay. Yeah, it says, must afterwards apply to themselves. Learn what duties they must afterwards apply to themselves. It means once you've gotten the Upanayanam, now you have duties to go along with it. So generally it's thought, when it's that, once I get, you know, initiation, then that's it. You know, I've reached the goal, the param gati. But no, that's when you start.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the work starts.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Okay, so, end here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.